Hey everybody, Shane Presley here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight, located in St. Louis, Missouri, right there on the hill at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Hey, come over and check them out. It's a really unique and fun experience over there. It's a recording studio attached to a bar, and they share a Wawa Cha-Cha-Chow, so you can come get some tacos, some cold drinks, hang out in the studio and watching one of your favorite bands in the studio recording. Hey, if you've got a band, come on over there and record yourself. And it's a lot of fun, and they've been cranking out some killer tunes from, you can check out Brother Lee and the Little Jackals, Miss Molly Sims, Fourth City. You know, everybody's been recording over there, and some really high-quality stuff. So check it all out. Full listing of events and everything at GaslightSTL.com. And you can come over there on May 17th and be a part of the Gaslight Sessions recording with Sean James. It's going to be a fun one. They're doing a bunch of other stuff too, with like they're doing a Gaslight School for the kids. We're getting younger children involved in music. So a lot of fun things happening for people of all ages. So check it out, GaslightSTL.com. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Marquise Knox.
And this is Alonzo Townsend.
And you listen to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Marquise Knox and Alonzo Townsend. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us, brother.
Hey, yeah. What's going on, Shane? Good to be back.
Yeah, man. We did one of these not too long ago, hanging out, talking about your stuff. But I said, let's get Marquise on here and talk about all his stuff, too. And
so, yeah, man. This is what I'm going to do right here. Yeah. I know. I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Yeah, man. But yeah, this we were hanging out at Oyster Bar the other night. And
about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we said we need to make this happen, and so we're here.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, yeah, we were sitting there talking about, we was right after Bro Play here, and we were talking about how at the time now, I feel like there's so much going on that it's about time to get you and Shane together so you could actually have that experience, man. Because I think it goes both ways for you guys.
Dude, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I've been a big Marquise fan for a long time, so it's, I'm excited that this is all coming together. But we got some big dates coming up. Let's go ahead and throw these out before we get going too far and forget about them. But you can see Marquise on May 28th at the National Blues Museum. You can see him also August 9th, Beale Street in St. Charles, a part of their outdoor concert series they're doing out there, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And the fest is Funk and Blues Fest Saturday, August the 12th in Festa, Missouri.
Yeah.
So we're gonna be around St. Louis quite a bit.
Yeah, bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll get a chance to probably see him at Big Money this year too. So, I mean, hopefully so. I think it's gonna be a busy summer.
It is. Yeah. Bring a little blues down to the Arch Concert Series, August 25th.
Yeah.
Give the people the blues all over St. Louis.
Yeah. Are you hoping to hit the road a little more this summer?
Yes, I'm going to Kansas City next month, do a thing up there at the Knucklehead Saloon, open up for Trample on the Foot.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty nice. And also working on my new album, Black and Blue, and getting it released because it's new material I've been writing on. Had a chance to go to Newton Iowa and play the Bowl Full of Blues. And so the Iowa Public Radio come out and recorded this. So now I got this live album that people need to hear.
Nice. Yeah, very cool.
I mean, when I sit here, I just got to be honest. When I sit here, man, I listen to this dude just go on and on. We only like 4 years apart, actually, because I'm 30 and Marquise is 26. But when I sit here and I listen to him, man, I get a sense of pride. It is crazy because I've known Marquise since he was 13 and I was 17 and 16, 17, yeah. And I remember the first time, like one of the first times we was at the House of Art Theater, man, the whole blues thing with him and Dad going back and forth, and Dad was playing with him at the house. I was in my mind, I was like, I have to challenge his ass. I swear I did this. I don't know if you remember this, but I asked you to play. Could you play 8 Mile? Or I don't know. I slid it in there after he got done with Dad. Dad went off somewhere. Me and Marquise was just chilling, and I was like, do 8 Mile. Yeah, man.
I remember it now.
And he did it. And I was like, God, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, this dude cold. You know what I mean? So, you know, and so what I'm finna say is, like, I fast forward now and I sit here and I listen to him talk, man. And that's another reason why I feel like you guys had to get together, because this dude right here is like a treasure. You know, and I don't say it just because, you know, I don't have to sugarcoat him up. You know that, because his head used to be larger than it is now. It's a lot better now, but I don't got to sugarcoat him up. But it's crazy because, man, you know, you get a person that's kind of like a once in a lifetime. I heard people say that to me sometimes, like, oh, man, you get around your spirit. And I understand what they mean sometimes, you know, and it's not even just referring to me, but I hear when people say, you know, you come across a person that's kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing, and Marquise is like a once-in-a-lifetime type of person, and it's just not, and it starts at the music, but then when you look at the music, and if you start going through the layers of it all, you kind of understand, like, man, this dude is, like, really, you know, I call him a prodigy, and all this type of, you know, those things aren't just labels, because, you know, you can't find too many people that can do the things that he do and has the mental mind frame that he has at 26 years old. If you sat down and talked to him, and before you, I say that at Orson Bowl all the time before I introduce him. I'm like, 26-year-old blues prodigy, 26-year-old blues phenom. I say that because I have to remind people how old this dude is. Because if you don't know how old he is, and you came and seen him for the first time, or some, you know, you came and seen him for the first time or whatever, you're going to automatically think that you are listening to a 30 or 40-year-old artist, and, like, he's just been through the ringer.
Right.
And, you know, and he's been through the ringer. It's a heart, it's a golden child thing. You're kind of born with it. You know, it's like a gift from God.
Right.
Seriously, you know, you come into these in this world with certain gifts for a reason, to do certain work, and that's how you know when you meet someone that's a last of a dying breed, that's a once in a lifetime type of person. So we in St. Louis and as people should be encouraged to share this gift and the gifts that we know that are around us as much as possible. And, like, this right here, doing the Rock Paper Podcast with you, Shane, you do phenomenal work. And being able to share this and be able to use this platform for him at this right. point in his career as well, is able to speak volumes and able to share that gift and share yeah. that light, you know.
Well, I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to share these stories and stuff. And so it means a lot to me to
get to hang
with you guys.
So. I think we're going to have fun today.
So, like Alonzo's saying, I mean, people, when they do come and see you, like, you know, and it is hard to believe. I mean, and you've been doing it for, whatever, 15 years or something now or whatever?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, you've been doing it since you were just a little guy. And, yeah. But, like, what, where do you think this, like, comes from? How do you, like, tap into that emotion where you know, you sang these songs and, like, these are some heavy things you're singing about sometimes, and then, like Alonzo said, with being 30, 40, whatever, you know, these are, but you're, as a young man, you're able to convey this message of these songs and this heartbreak and stuff and some of these blues lyrics and things. And
well, I think I've been blessed. I come from a family from the South, rich in tradition, And so the blues was part of the story. So for them, it was, you couldn't be from Mississippi or from that area and not have a guitar or a fiddle or singing or something. It was like part of living, you know. And that experience was translated to me, you know, from my grandmother and my great uncle. I remember being in the fifth grade, no, in the third grade. Teacher said, Marquise, you can come to the Black History program and play. And she said, I always see you doing the air guitar. She said, come play at the program. I said, sure. I went home and told my grandmother. I said, Grandma, you got to help me out. And she said, what? I said, well, the teacher wanted me to play at the Black History program. I said, and I don't know how to play the guitar. She said, she slapped me. She said, why'd you tell that woman a lie? I said, well, I said, I want to play so bad. She said, get out my face. And I went outside and played around. And after a while, she called me back in the house. And her guitar, I played. My uncle brought in 1969 for $13 selling candy. My uncle got it from my grandfather. My grandfather wanted some tires, sold it to my uncle. My uncle needed something back from my grandfather. So the tradition of the guitar stayed back and forth, and then here I am playing it. And then those stories that come along with learning and sit down listening, you know, that's how I'm able to connect and tap into that. You know, it's like BP, you know, I'm drilling a well.
It's an interesting thing that he just said. You like sit back and listen. That's something that my dad used to always say all the time. And, you know, you don't talk so much. If you sit back and just listen, son, you just soak it in. He like, you'll never know what you'll pick up on. He like, you'll pick up on a million things just sitting back and listening instead of being. He like, nobody know everything. I know, I know, I know. He used to always say it to me. And it's so true. And after a while, I started understanding, luckily at a young age or well before dad passed, I was able to understand those things and kind of sit back and really understand. And now I tell my own daughter that all the time, I take a lead all the time, I'm like, you just sit back and kind of, you gotta put yourself a step ahead of people sometimes. You gotta kind of be an architect. You kind of sit back and look and listen, interpret, and then draw up where you go from there. You know, always... be prepared, always mentally prepare yourself. And this dude right here has done a fine job of doing that. When he said, like, it rang a bell, it clicked right there for me. And that's probably one of the most important things that you can do, is the key of being successful. It's listening, it's just sitting back and listening.
Yeah.
You know,
taking points.
Yeah. That's what I do with this show. I like to sit back and listen. You were saying you got a new record that you're working on, and that you said this is going to be a live album?
Yeah, it's a live album. I was in Newton, Iowa this past September, and Nelly Tiger travels up there and joined a Connor and myself. And so the Iowa Pub Radio come out and record it. And I didn't let the guys know we was being recorded because I figured, you know, if they knew we were being recorded, they may try to play too clean or too, you know what I'm saying? And so we got a relaxed setting. We drove up there, everybody was happy. And the recording captured just a moment that if you wasn't there, you wouldn't experience. But good thing we got the recording. Now everybody can experience, and they called me raw. And, you know, a lot of people... haven't, you know, they see me playing, but they haven't really been able to measure the progress because I haven't had an album out. So with this one, when you put it against Man Child, Here I Am, you're going to say, wow, all right. Now yeah. We see his growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably, in my opinion, it's going to be one of the best albums that he's put out.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of the songs are not only his own and his originals, but... If you've been lucky enough to see Marquise live, then a lot of these songs are your favorite.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of these songs are the ones that you know, or put you in a whole different mood, a whole different mindset. So I think personally, I think Black and Blue is probably going to be like one of the best blues albums of the year once it does come out. just because of the material. It's just all about how hard we push it, and we're going to push the hell out of it.
We have to.
Yeah, we're going to push the hell out of it.
Preserving tradition and the blues. Also showing the people that you don't have to move away from the roots necessarily to expand the roots, you know. Folks think you got to go out there and capture this, 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 and that, then bring it back. No, you got to be that which it is first. Then if you want to go over there, if I want to play soul, if I want to play funk, it won't be funk blues, it won't be rock blues, it's going to be blues rock, blues funk, blues rap, blues whatever, because I'm welling exactly from the blues.
Yeah.
And so that's what this album's showing people. I went, did a little more than just the regular.
Right. And you, I'm assuming you had Matt, Gus, and,
Matt,
and Michael on
Matthew Lauder, Gus Thornton, Michael Battle. I call them the band.
Yeah.
You know.
There's some bad dudes in that band.
Yeah. I tell them, when they said, we need a band name. I said, Marquise Knox and the band, because for his blues and soul and rhythm, I mean, what better three people you could ask for?
What three people you could.
Gus history.
And I was just thinking, that's crazy, because you was just in my brain, because that's exactly what I was going to bring up, was Gus Thornton, because I was going to say, that's another thing that I think makes Marquise a full artist, and not to single one person out, but I have to acknowledge, I watched Gus Thornton since I was a little boy. Flat out.
Yeah.
I think every time I look at Gus, I think it in a good way, it kind of freaks Gus out every time he sees me, for real, because Gus seen me as a little boy. When I used to come down to the festival with my dad, with, you know, Henry Townsend, and used to come down with my dad, and, you know, my dad was a part of this standard in St. Louis and in blues, in St. Louis blues. So it was like, who didn't know Henry Townsend, and who didn't know who Oliver and Benny, and, you know, who didn't know who those guys, Tommy Banky, those was the standard, those were the godfathers of the St. Louis blues, you know, who didn't know who those guys were. So of course, all the musicians coming up, at that time, Gus was a young man, you know, I'm a little boy, so, you know, at that time, Gus was a young man, you know, doing his thing, and play with Muddy. If you go in the Blues Museum, you'll see that video at the, you know, the beginning where you see Gus playing.
Yeah.
And that shows you the lineage. And the connect with my story point with Gus is, I think that makes Marquise a whole artist. And not only a whole artist, but that shows you how much and how many people believe in him, because Gus Thornton is a legendary artist. He's probably one of the most legendary
smoothest.
You know, Gus is smooth, man, but he's legendary. Woo, you know, he's played with some of the kings of the kings.
Yeah, Katie Webster, Albert King, still with Kim Massey, myself. Whoever, Gus is a staple for our St. Louis blues. He's been holding down the bottom end since forever.
He just super cool, too. Like, I mean, he's like, you watch him play, but then you talk to him off stage, and he's...
Man, he humble as pie, right? You know, humble as pie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's, you know, that's when you know, man, Gus is one of those type of people, too, man. He's like one of those once-in-a-lifetime people that you meet, because, like you said, you know, he's badass on stage, man. And, you know, as soon as he get done, you go walk right up to him and say whatever you want to say to him, man. Just gonna just be smiling, man. He's gonna be a smiling.
Right.
I did find that pretty fun the other night when we mentioned that Oyster Bar show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there was a moment late in the show where Gus hopped off the stage and was sitting there watching, and Marquise played bass. So I thought that was pretty that was pretty funny watching Gus you play his bass and singing along. And
well, we do that every now and again.
Yeah.
I feel like I said, I've been watching Gus play that five string. So I get to pay attention to how he's doing it. I wasn't used to it at first. And then I said, all right, Gus, let me just see. And I do it, he gets such a kick out of it. I do it mainly, you know, to see him laugh. He said, Marquis, I don't know how you play that bass and sing at the same time. I mean, he's just such a loving person. So it's almost like a tribute back to him. Say, hey, look, you know, we appreciate you.
Yeah, man, for sure.
That dude can do anything. That dude can play almost anything. Do you play piano?
A little bit. You know, I can do a little piano. You know, I just love music. You know, if I studied more, I probably could be a lot better, but I hear a lot of music, and it just, and that's just how I come to me on stage. No set list when you come to my show.
Right.
You may hear the song, but you won't, the order won't always be. You know, if I do get to it, you all might not even get to it, you know. It's just always about them, the feel of the people in the crowd, what we want to go together.
Right.
Not where I'm trying to take you, force you, get over. No, we're going to do this together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a lot of fun to see, like, that, you know, kind of let the audience kind of help guide the show a little bit, too. Yeah. You know, however the feel is, you know, hey, we're going to, we got everybody up dancing, let's hit them with another, right. Keep them up here dancing more and stuff. Yeah. And you know, instead of like, okay, well, here's where we on the set list we would have we would have slowed it down or whatever.
But, right.
You know, we're gonna keep them up going.
No, no teleprompter.
Bro. Yeah.
No, and because I tell people all the time, like people, especially myself, when you go to a show, it's a difference. It's a difference from going and seeing somebody perform, and going and having an experience. And I say, which one would you rather have? I'd rather go see, have an experience. So I tell people all the time, when you go and see somebody, especially live, I grade it on, was it an experience or did you just go to the show and, you know, it was a good show? And if you tell me it was an experience, then I'm with it. I'm absolutely with it. And I feel like that's what an artist has to do, especially now. You have to give something. You have to give. And what I mean by experience is you have to give something. You got to give these people something that they take home with them. Yeah. That they walk away, get in the car with, ride down the highway, and walk down the sidewalk and into the front door with.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is they either humming the tune, timing the beat, remembering something that happened,
mm-hmm.
and at the they're like, man, that show was off the chain.
Right.
Damn, you know,
can't wait to get back.
You know, that's an experience, you know, and that's what you have to be able to bring to the table, especially nowadays. You have to. It's all about keeping attention. They say that all the time. You got to keep their attention, and that's one thing to keep their attention. It's a whole other thing to like leave them and just blow them away and leave them and make them leave with a piece of you. And I'm not talking about buying a CD and saying, hey, I'm taking them with you. Was that awesome? Man. I mean, that actual show. Right. You know, that actual show is, boy, they sold now.
Sure.
You know, and that's the experience. That's what, you know, unfortunately, he's fortunate enough to bring that to the table and be able to do that on a consistent basis, which is very hard, especially nowadays. And especially when you're not signed to a major label or you don't have a machine pumping out you. On a daily basis, because through a marketing machine, and you have all this, you know, bells and whistles and
right.
attachments attached to you trying to do it. It's hard. But at the same time, we're fortunate enough in this day and age, too, like with digital podcasts, and then, you know, a lot of artists are moving towards releasing albums straight digitally.
Right. Social
a lot of major artists are releasing albums digitally first, mm-hmm. you know, through iTunes or through Spotify, or just, you know, flat out just releasing full studio albums digitally now and letting those sales catch them up to do something physical later. So now that shows the key to the future for artists that like to be independent, artists that have created not only their own sound, but created their own words, their own their own experience. They've mm-hmm. created their own show.
Hey, you looking for some new music? Check out Music Record Shop in St. Louis, Missouri, located in the Dot Zec building. Come over there anytime, but every Friday they have new records in store. including stuff from Chris Stapleton, Descendants, Bob's Burger soundtrack. You know, they got a bunch, and you always can pre-order your new records, up and coming records like Jason Isbell, Pokey LaFarge, you know, all kinds of things. And full listing of all the titles at musicrecordshop.com. You can shop online 24/7 there. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and keep an eye out. They got a lot of like fun events going on with live in stores and all kinds of sales and specials and stuff. So always giving away records and tickets and things. So check it out. Pay to support and shop local here, musicrecordshop.com.
After a while, you have to kind of consider, especially when people start throwing different things at you, you got to consider, what do you want to do? Do you want to continue to control your destiny and continue to improve the machine that you've already built for yourself and you've already kind of self-made for yourself? You want to kind of turn over the keys to an owner and let them drive and you just sit in the back seat.
Right. That's what we got there.
So that's what, and that's what we kind of creating the groundwork for. That's the Marquise is a major artist at this point. He's a full artist. He does his own work. He does his own sound. He's created this for a long time. So that makes him a self-made artist. I think it's important to continue that and continue to be and show how important it is you and how successful you can be as an independent artist, especially when you see people like Chance the Rapper,
right,
who go to the Grammys as an independent artist with no major distribution deal, go and grab 3 or more Grammys. That shows you that the blueprint is there to be self-made and to improve your own brand. So I think that's one of the most things that's important to us, and we're fortunate enough to build together, is creating an independent foundation, and that's what we'll be talking about. We've kind of been tiptoeing about, and we'll kind of bring to the forefront in a couple of weeks. But creating a foundation as an independent artist with a self-made independent label and being able to continue and do your own work. At the same time, create a landscape for other independent artists to come and cultivate and do their work without feeling the pressures of having to sell out or have to turn over what they've already created and already built to somebody else to be kind of quote-unquote pimped out. You know, and say, hey, you go out here and do this, and we'll take care of all this.
We're gonna handle everything from here on out. Give me 20% this person, 15%, and then the band, and then about every time 100%. It don't take long to get to 100% of everything. And so we have to get these opportunities to younger brother I'm talking to, like Quan Willis out of Georgia, from Atlanta. Cuz really play the blues. All they need is a platform. They need people just to see them. And necessarily, you don't need to give up yourself. I understand the business of making money. I understand capitalism. I understand it, because the record company is like a good prime example of how you want to run capitalism. Hey, give me something, you work your ass to death, and then I'll capitalize on it. So we want these brothers and these sisters to maintain all of what is theirs, and all at the same time, I think creating something like that will give the blueprint for more people to say, alright, well, we want to come work with you guys, and not only that, we want to help somebody else, because we want to turn people on to give back and not just run away with what is yours.
Yeah, because you also got to think about, too, a lot of people got to also realize that there's a lot of young brothers out here playing the blues and playing it well. That's, you know, underneath Marquise is an age, you know, like Chris Stone, Ingram, Kingfish. You know, he out here and he has to understand that he has a foundation, he has a platform. You know, we want to be able to do that for him as well, and for other artists just like him that has already self-made themselves a sound and self-created themselves, you know, going forward. So if you've already done half the work yourself, why not reap all of those rewards and continue to do the work and have somebody help believe in you to help you create the same foundation that you've already pretty much watered yourself. And so that's the idea of it all. That's the idea is, you know, creating a new playing field, especially for a lot of young blues artists, for sure. And, I mean, it's just not about blues, though. It's about the future of music in itself.
Yeah.
The future of music in itself. So we're going to open things up a little bit more in a couple of weeks and kind of show exactly what we are putting together. But we are definitely putting something together for the future.
We'll be back to run the whole line down, yeah. Because I think when people be able to judge the conversation, go back and then see what happened and when we talk about it again, mm-hmm. They'll see that. And we were serious about, you know, to me, I always tell them every morning when I get up, some mornings I play the blues with the people on Facebook. And despite you know, the pop culture songs tell me all the time, our kids, no black, no white, just the blues. Not that I feel like, you know, don't tell me how to feel about the blues, you know. We all got the blues, yeah. But how did we get the blues? Ultimately, what matter? My blues is not as important as Alonzo's blues. Not really as important as your blues. But the story of the blues is my people. So in that framework, that is how I bring the blues. I don't bring the blues presented on behalf of Marquise Knox, even though Marquise Knox's name on the marquee on the chalkboard, yeah, that may be that, but I'm bringing so much other things other than myself, so many other people, so many unnamed people, my people, artists that never got known, you know, that kind of history. Folks hanging from the tree made Nina Simone almost lose her mind. You know, this kind of history, you know, stuff that make Richard Pryor break down, had a mental breakdown on stage, man. And we talking about things, David Chappelle, things that make these people, you know, snap. And, you know, mm-hmm. Folks act like once they snap, then they're like, oh, well, now we understand the bigger picture. I try to bring the bigger picture
before you
have to snap.
Before you snap.
And sometimes it's a little more raw and tough. Mm-hmm. But it builds such a better foundation. I think all the people who know me, I mean, they respect me, and I respect everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, at the same time, because like Marquis said, you know, I come from, my blues come from one from a legacy standpoint, you know, and at the same time, it comes from my heritage, because that's what it is. It's part of my heritage. It's part of who I am as a man. It's a part of who I am as a brother, as a part of who I am as a black man, as a part of who I am as a human being. So I was able, you know, if you understand my father's story, you know, that's why it is so important to me. You know, my father ran away from home at 9 years old, you know, from a whooping and never went back. And it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. It seems like a movie sometimes, you know. And I was dropped in the middle of the movie.
Right.
You know, seriously. Yeah, sometimes I wake up and I look in the mirror. And that's why, and people ask me, why do I go so hard? I've never fully explained it this way. So this is the first time I'm explaining this way. But if you sit back and you think about it, and he's like, man, okay, so your father was Henry Townsend, and when he passed, he was 96 years old. And he did this, and he did that. Like I said, he ran away from home when he was 9 years old and never went back, never looked back, jumped on the train and made himself a man, went from being a shoeshine boy to being a lookout for a juke joint before, you know, during Prohibition. And then he, you know, ran into, you know, people like Big Joe Williams and, I, you know, man, Sykes. And Roosevelt Sykes and...
That's St. Louis history.
You know, and so I look, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I look around and I'm like, why? I've asked myself before too, I'm like, why? And then I'm like, how? How the hell am I in this situation? you know, and that it's a God give. It's strictly by the hands of God. If you don't believe, whoever you pray to, you know, no disrespect, but I'm telling you, you have to have some type of faith, and you got to believe when certain situations happens. And this is what made my faith and makes my faith stronger every day, is because being a son of Henry Townsend, like, man, how did I get, you know, again, how did I feel like there's a movie? How the hell I get dropped in the middle of this with all this history? For what? It had to be a reason. And for me to sit back and just be like, you know, and just relax off of being the son of Henry Townsend would be a disrespectful, dishonest service, not only to my father, but to my father God, to my Savior. It would be a slap in the face to him. That's how I look at it, because I feel like I don't understand how, but it's a reason why I was dropped in it. So it's to carry that legacy on, to be that torchbearer of not only what he created and what he did, but what he represented,
right,
and what he went through. You know,
you know how many raw, not saying personality, people not good,
right?
But you don't have people on the forefront of the blues that's black and that's saying, "Hey, look, time out, you know, from the liquor, drinking and smoking and all the women and the men and all the stuff. Look at the history. You know, we are more than, you know, cigarette stains, burnt holes on your shirts, you know, and perfume and lipstick traces. You know, this is a raw history." And, you know, I don't think they quite know how to respond now that the blues have moved from the cotton field with technology now, and young people with the Black Lives Matter. I was telling somebody the other day, man, you know, Muddy Waters got just as much in common with Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, or anybody. I mean, hell, anybody you want to think that goes through something like this. I mean, they got just that much in common with Hollywood. Hollywood said his nerve was so bad when he was in the Army, he said he was just shaking. You know, and I probably that, and now all that stress was on probably on top of who he was that drove him to that. You know, and this is what I'm coming to talk about. You know, not so much of the good time, hurrah, hurrah, but the stuff that I think really give us the blues.
Yeah, and I think we have to sit down and we have to respect that conversation, and people have to understand, because the way that I look at it as well, I feel the same way, and I look at it like we're fortunate enough that we had so many people passionate, no matter what color they was, and listen to exactly what I'm going to say, that believed and want to carry on what our fathers and what our heritage created. But that's the thing. They have to make sure that they continue, if they're going to carry on the blues, if they're going to play the blues. And again, this is no disrespect, but I'm referring to the people like the Joe Bonamassas and stuff like that. And this is my words. If we're gonna carry on the blues, if we're gonna play the blues, I think you have to owe it to the respect of the legacy and the respect to the music itself to pay homage to the heritage that you are playing. Meaning, you have to pay homage to the black creators and the black giants that created this art form, because true enough, if it was left to us, in my opinion, the original form that is blues, the creator of all genres of music, probably would have got lost or forgotten, because we only have a handful of fortunate people like Marquise, fortunate brothers that's young, that understand what the heritage was and took that responsibility, not only that they loved it, but they wanted to play it. It was only a handful. You know, we were greatly outnumbered. And I don't want to say that that's a bad thing, but while at the same time being disnumbered or outnumbered, the heritage was forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so we can't let the heritage be forgotten of what the blues is, the rich history of blues is, because blues is sweating and toiling and hurting And it's black folks mainly sweating and toiling and hurting for a long time, for hundreds of years.
All right.
That's where the that's where the foundation is. That's where the birth is. But that does that mean because you're not black you can't play the blues? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. That's totally not what he's saying. And that's damn sure not. That's not what I'm saying. And I know a lot of people that get those. And I think this is a great time. This is a great time on your show to even to bring up Facebook, because bring up the Facebook Marquise conversation, because I do know it's a lot of people, and he enjoys it, not in a bad way, but he enjoys it because it creates dialogue. It opens up the conversation with so many people on that thread, and they say this and they say that, and they, you know, they on this side, they on that side. But they have to understand the full conversation and support. If you support the music, if you support, if you've been a lover for so long, you already understand that. And if you don't understand it, then you just, all you're doing is being enlightened. No one's telling you and changing the way that you think and should interpret the music. It's telling you to open up your mind a little bit and understand what your love comes from and the birth of your love. So you can continue to support that movement, support that heritage going forward in the future. And I think that's important. That's very important, to understand what the discussion is actually about, instead of making it seem like it's a divider or it's a dividing factor. He's speaking on trying to divide, and that's not what he's speaking on. I know that, and I don't even have to be next to him. I can sit there and read on Facebook and like, oh man, here you go again, but I know where it's about. I know where it's about, and I know where it's going, and I know where the basis is. And sometimes you just, like, again, you got to sit back and listen, because sometimes people are just trying to open it up the way that you think and kind of enlighten you about certain, and giving you a certain other way to look at things, right, should I say. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's important.
Well, when you were talking this, I thought about the Black Keys and how, like, they did a whole record of Junior Kimbrough tunes. And, like, I didn't really know a lot about Junior Kimbrough before hearing that stuff. So then, like, but, you know, them doing the song, and then they, like, they even had, there's, a, like, a little bonus track thing with his wife where she left a voicemail on their answer machine saying that, you know, she heard the songs and she, you know, likes him a lot and stuff, and appreciate them keeping his, you know, legacy going and stuff, you know, keeping these songs going. But, you know, so like I said, I'm learning a lot about the blues backwards. Like, you know, I'm like, I might have learned something through the Black Keys, what they're doing with it today, but I'm since going back and I've learned about, you know, Junior and R.L. Burnside and, right, like, you know, what, yeah, kind of, you know, going in and rediscovering all some of the stuff, and yeah, and that's a, and that's what I think is a great, and that's the way music should be, you know, constantly discovering these, some of these things that might have kind of been forgotten and stuff, so keeping that going. So but yeah, music's and the blues, it's rich in history, man, that's for sure. So
it's like Delta Soul.
Yeah, it is. It goes back a long way and it's really deep, and I think that's another benefit that he has playing it, is because, you know, it's something that a lot of people almost started forgetting about. And then when you got a young man, you know, at a certain age and damn good at it, and, you know, and knows his history as well, you know, that's a deadly combination in the music business. That's a deadly combination in any word that you do. So, you know, we're fortunate enough to have him a part of this, a part of the history that we have already in the city, and being a part of the kind of the young breed that's kind of rising back up, especially in the Broadway circles, but in the blues itself throughout the whole city. You know, he's leading the charge, and, you know, we're fortunate enough to kind of have this, him leading that future movement right now.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, again, come see Marquise. Come see this, what we're talking about. Come see it all live. Again, over at National Blues Museum on May 28th. Yeah. And that's an early show, 4 to 7.
Yeah.
And then I don't think we mentioned it yet, but Alonzo is the official MC, right, of the Atomic Blues Festival this year.
Yes, sir. Yes,
third annual Atomic Blues Festival, June 11th, yep, over at the Atomic Cowboy.
Yep, at the Atomic Cowboy. It's my first year doing the Atomic Blues Fest MC duties, so I'm excited. But it's equally important to me because it benefits the St. Louis Blues Society Education Fund.
Yeah.
And by benefiting the St. Louis Blues Society Education Fund, that funnels into the Blues and Schools programs, which I'm also a part of. And Mike Battle. Battle puts on... Mike Battle with the Center of Artistic Expression. Man, I got that tongue tie. but yeah, Mike Battle is actually the one putting on the Blues, you know, creating the Blues and Schools programs. I'm just able to be lucky enough to be a part of the process with him as well, and be the face, kind of the MC, the young face, to connect to the youth.
Yeah.
And also be the voice. And I'm fortunate enough to do that. You know, I got to shout out Jeremy Siegel Moss for that again, because like I said, man, that dude is the one who got me started doing these MCing.
Yeah.
Him and Kerry Liston. And I'm going on almost, this is 2017. I think I did my first MCing in, oh man, I'm close to 10 years. I'm close. I'm probably like two or three years away, if I can say that. But, you know, they got me started doing this stuff, man. And it was another tool of the trade, and I'm able to kind of put in my, another feather to put in my cap, because now that's gotten me in popular circles with a lot of good people, and I'm fortunate. So, yeah, man, I'm happy to be able to be doing that Atomic Blues Festival, though. Like I said, it's equal important to me because it's supporting education, my two loves, music and education. And we get to do these blues, and that helps us do these Blues in Schools programs. So come out and support. It's going to be a great show. I don't know the entire lineup yet. I know it's coming out. I do know, I think Jeremiah is going to be playing there, Paul Niehaus. It's going to be a good time. So I think you guys should come down. Like I said, all the proceeds are going to support, the education fund. So it'll be a good time. Getting ready for Big Muddy Blues Festival again this year. The lineup's coming out in a couple of weeks. I'd be fortunate enough to send B to MC again this year.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. The biggest festival in the city of St. Louis, next to First St. Louis, and next to, I think the biggest music festival next to Big Muddy and Lou Fest is pretty the two top music festivals in the city of St. Louis every year. So to be able to MC one of those, and that being, the Big Muddy.
Big Muddy was huge last year with the all local lineup and everything. It was awesome.
It was
such a good time.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing, dude. Like, and I tell this to everybody, dude. It was a huge gamble. But it was a gamble that was well worth it, because we are a world class city, and I'm sitting next to one, and we listen to a lot of them every night, of world class musicians.
Yeah, St. Louis.
We are blessed. St. Louis is the epicenter of music, and people used to think that we didn't really get on until Nelly broke through hip hop.
Right.
But man, this city has a lot of rich history.
JB over at Gas, I'm sure other people have been doing, but I've been noticing he's owns Gaslight over on the hill, and he's been doing the hashtag St. Louis is a music town.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with that. I mean, the people, we get on, we get about the sports, we get, Cardinal baseball and Blues hockey and stuff now, but like, man, people will forget about that. There's some incredible musicians in this town, and that's what, that's the whole reason I'm doing this show, is because I want people to know about my friends that are out there doing these things, and there's just so much going on in the city.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. So like I said, we're fortunate, it's my job to make sure that we keep, all that. I go to the top of the mountains and I use all that and yell it out as loud as possible so everybody can see exactly what we are doing here, because we're doing amazing things, and we got a lot of good people. I'm gonna say real quick, we got a lot of good people too that's helping this city do a lot of good things, and it's just not in the music field. And I mean, a lot of the new millennials, the young millennials, just taking off, is like Bruce Franks and Tashara Jones, and it's a lot of change going on.
Senator Chappelle.
Senator Maria Nadal Chappelle. A lot of people doing a lot of good work and trying to make a different viewpoint and a different a different landscape for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, for a long time, it wasn't, you know, it was about what was going on now and a lot of the old standards that's been around for so long. But, you know, in order for the future to have a voice and for us to have a future, the future got to be involved mm-hmm. in what's going on. Or, you know, you got to have pieces of the future there and actually to make it be a future. You can't have people that's been in the past or people that's, you know, kind of stuck in a stagnant position saying what's going to happen 20 and 30 years from now. You got to have the people that's going to actually be around and the people that's actually going to be invested in, you know, busting their knuckles yeah. in those next 20 and 30 years.
Yeah.
And also, Lindsay Patton, it's a lot of good people I heard. Daniel Ginther. A lot of aldermen, they out here doing work and representing and doing us a service. So I think that we got to make sure that we continue to stay active and stay loud and stay involved and stay invested and continue to be pieces of the future and represent the future well in those aspects as well. Because we're moving forward as a city. Like, people think that we're not, but... Or people kind of, you know, if you pay attention to what's going on now, you can see that it's a big change. It's a big change. And it's a welcome change. And we have a new administration now, so hopefully that we can start doing a lot of more. We don't have to worry about festivals from out of L.A. We don't have to worry about, you know, promoters out there in L.A. creating festivals for our homegrown talent. We can actually be the ones doing that again. So hopefully the new administration believes in that same agenda and we can bring that back downtown in St. Louis and actually thrive and build those things together, you know, because that's what we deserve. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate enough to be a part of that movement, too, and make sure that I'm going to stay loud and progressive going forward, too.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned... brand new Marquise record coming soon, Black and Blue. Do you have an expected release on that?
Oh yeah,
I'm thinking about July.
Yeah,
maybe even a little sooner.
Yeah,
because we are at the final stages.
Sure. Yeah, we're at the final stage. We're just trying to wrap some things up too. Like I said, in a couple of weeks we'll be able to kind of share the big news, but we're putting some things together so that we'll be able, and that's going to come right behind that.
Yeah.
Hopefully by the summer you get some new tunes to crank up in your stereo. And you said you want to share a song today though.
Yes. Love by Her. Yeah. No, Hurt by Her.
Hurt by Her?
Yeah, it's off my new
album. It's going to be on Black and Blue, and so I think that's like a sneak peek preview special treat.
Yeah.
A lot of people get to hear, like I said, if you've been a part of the movement, Marquise, the song might sound familiar to you, but if you're not close to being, if you're not from St. Louis, should I say,
because right.
if you're out of town, you're like, oh, man, but this is going to be a treat for you.
Yeah.
But if you are a follower, then you know this is gonna be one of those probably one of your favorite songs
for sure. And head over to follow Marquise on Facebook and keep up with more dates coming soon and all that. So new music on the way.
Right.
A lot of big things in the works.
That's right.
Stay tuned. All right, thanks guys.
Thank you, bro.
Well now, darling, you know we made our plan. We even talked about how we had our future in our hand. But now, babe, I guess it's all in the past. And I hope that you love me exactly where you at. You keep asking me, what do I wanna do? You keep asking me. what do I wanna do? I'd rather be hurt by her than be loved by you. Baby, what did we go wrong? I would ask you to explain yourself. That will keep us here too long. We should have known, woman, from the start, that even the best of friends, you know they have to part. You keep asking me, what do I want to do? You keep asking me, what do I want to do? I'd rather be hurt by her than be loved by you. Is all in the past, and I hope that you love me exactly where you at. You keep asking me, oh, what do I want to do? You keep asking me, what do I want to do? Texting me on my phone, asking what do you want to do. I'd rather be hurt by her.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.